Welcome to Hot Talk, the platform for profound conversations on politics, social issues, and economics. From youth leaders to politicians, farmers to traders, street vendors to faith-based leaders, we bring you diverse voices willing to engage in some of the hardest conversations about the most pressing issues of our time. Hot Talk, setting the pace for discussion.
All right, it is 19 minutes after the hour of 7. A very good evening, listeners, and welcome to Radio Miraya's Hot Talk, a segment of the community conversation show, Wanasata Mujtama, where we engage on issues that matters most to our communities. Today is April 22nd, 2026, and we take a closer look at South Sudan political landscape and corruption. One question many citizens continue to ask: is the fight against corruption in South Sudan real change or just a show of control? We shall find out during the program. My name is Viola Elias.
Yes, and my name is Moyo Jacob Felix.
Right. South Sudan has been crossing a political transition since the signing of the revitalized agreement on the resolution of the conflicts in South Sudan. The agreement brought together leaders, including President Salva Kiir and former First Vice President Dr. Riek Machar, in a fragile power-sharing agreement. But after years later, many key reforms outlined in revitalized agreement remain incomplete, while corruption continue to affect the daily lives of ordinary citizens within our communities.
Yes, and that's right. In recent months, the country has signaled what looks like a tougher stance on corruption, with a wave of arrests targeting government officials accused of misusing public resources. Strong public statements from authorities have actually reinforced the message that corruption will no longer be tolerated, projecting an image of a government determined actually to restore integrity and public trust. But beyond this arrest, the situation is far more complex. Many citizens are asking whether this crackdown represents a genuine shift towards accountability, or it is a selective approach targeting certain individuals while leaving deeper systematic issues untouched. And so, to help us unpack this issue and better understand the current political dynamics, we are very glad to be joined by Dr. Abraham Kuolnyon, a political analyst and a lecturer at the University of Juba. Professor, you are most welcome to Radio Miraya this evening.
Thank you. Not a lecturer, a professor at University of Juba. you are undergrading me.
Our great apologies for that. Good evening once again. And we are so much privileged to have you once again. It's been a very, very, very long time. Let's go right away to our conversation. I would like you to share with us, how would you assess the recent wave of arrests linked to corruption allegations? Are they a sign of real reforms, or this, only signaling political approaches?
Well, thank you, Viola, Elias, and Jacob Moyo, for this opportunity that you had given to me to come to Radio Miraya. And I think today is my media day, because very early in the morning I was at iRadio dealing with the issues of elections, and now I'm here. So I strongly believe that is my media day. And I would like to begin by saying something that is contrary to what you have asked.
Okay.
Based on the song that you have just sung before we begin the program, that Gale Yalgi Yakamifi Jongule, Yalgi Karafu, Uyalgi Amulushunide Pi Wow, Fi Raja. You know, let me tell you this. In this world, there is no life with a young generation. In fact, that thing touched me. And we need to do more than that. Which means lo yalgi karafu, yalgi nyakamu, mafi belete in the nine. So that is the statement I need to say based on that song. Now, to come to what we are talking about today, you know, recently, some years back, President Kiir has been talking about that changing people left and right. And if he's asked, why is changing people? Then he said he's looking for a solution. Almost 5 years down the line, we have not seen the solution. In fact, we are seeing destruction.
But it's looking still for solutions.
No, we have not seen this solution. We have seen destruction. Why am I saying this? Because, you know, this country has two very important resources. It has oil and it has what we call minerals. Minerals, they, like in Greater Upper Nile, we have a lot of oil. In Equatoria in general, we have minerals. But we are not seeing the significance of these two. Which means oil is being exploited or being extracted or minerals are being extracted in Eastern Equatoria and Southern Equatoria, but we are not seeing the significance of that. Which means the president was not serious enough to look for a solution. And in this case, the current crackdown on the people who are seem to be corrupted. According to the law said people, when somebody is accused, is not believed to be guilty until proven by the law. In my opinion, as an academic and a political scientist, I believe the people who are now under prison, all of them might not be necessarily guilty. But what happened is, you know, I'm a soldier.
I didn't know that.
In the military, in the military, Bugulu gal minini tiba. Lo gali tiba, u marden mais al kalbidor, you don't need to talk.
You don't need to ask questions.
You don't need to ask questions. That's what the president is doing. What the South Sudanese are seriously waiting for, President Gal Tiba, Kalfidor, Marden Marish. That is what it has done. But what is left now is to investigate, to find who is guilty and who is not guilty. And that is what we should be waiting for, which has taken more time anyway.
But do you think it's going to come?
It will never come in the context of South Sudan. Because some people will also buy their way out. People who have stolen more money, they will be the people will be seen to be more free than the people who are not guilty.
By themselves, as in by how? Themselves. From who?
From the system.
But it is the same system that is cracking down these people, cracking down on corruption particularly. What makes you think that the same system will allow corruption actually to happen in the process of letting these people go?
Jacob
some
Moyo.
Of them.
Jacob Moyo.
Yes, Professor.
Let me tell you one thing. How many months have these soldiers stayed without salaries?
All right, we do understand that's quite a good time.
So if you understand an angry man or an angry woman is a vulnerable person. So what I want to say here is that the people who might be even keeping the law are the people who can be vulnerable to be bribed off and set people free. Who cannot even be free.
And break the law.
And break the law.
Yes.
Because of them, you know, each of us, if you have children, you know that. Your child is crying. Your child is not eating. If your wife is not eating. And you got an opportunity to get the food even one meal a day. Will you withstand that thing? Naturally?
Well, if you are a nationalist, if you love your nation, definitely you will... I mean, you won't be bribed as such.
Listen, Jacob Mayo and Vailo Elias.
Yes.
I'm a nationalist. I'm a liberator. I joined the SPLM at the age of 12.
As a child soldier.
We have sacrificed ourselves. But I don't think whether many of us will continue to sacrifice ourselves at this point. Why? Because we don't want to die when we leave people whom we are sacrificing our life at a very critical condition.
But it's still, there's something you both can do, the liberators.
What do we do?
Reform.
We reform. A reform without food is nothing. A reform, you know, we have stayed hungry, we walk barefoot, we have gone to the fire, and nothing we can do at that time.
Professor.
Listen, we were fighting.
Yes.
To liberate. Now, after liberation, there are people who are more liberated than others.
Mm.
Now, our children are giving us questions. Our wife are giving us questions. Our husband are giving us questions. They said, what were you fighting for? Now that you had fought, yes, it is true. We have got our country. But why are other people eating more than us? How do you answer that such a question?
We will ask you that same question later on at the course of the program. Let's just go for a short break. We are trying to reconnect with Professor Peter Duoknyaba, and then we do the conversation together in a short while. Keep there with us on the Community Conversations.
Welcome to Hard Talk, the platform for profound conversations on politics, social issues, and economy. From youth leaders to politicians, farmers to traders, street vendors to faith-based leaders, we bring you diverse voices willing to engage in some of the hardest conversations about the most pressing issues of our time. Hard Talk, setting the pace for discussion.
All right, a very good evening to all of you once again at 29 more minutes to the top of the hour. It's the Hard Talks of the Community Conversations on 101 Radio Mruaya. And right here with us, we are having Professor Abraham Kwonyon from the University of Juba. He's also a political analyst. And we're also very privileged to be joined by this moment by Professor Peter Aduoka Nyaba. Professor, good evening.
Good evening, Jacob, and also a greeting to all the people who are listening to Mruaya FM.
Thank you for joining us. Yes, Professor Abraham was about to mention something. Yeah, Professor, go on, then we move to Professor Peter Duoknyaba later on.
Well, thank you, Jacob Moyo. In fact, it's just a simple message to my mentor, my senior, Professor Duoknyaba. In fact, I'm his very serious fan, and I need to tell him publicly today that when he was the Minister of Higher Education, he shut down a lot of bogus institutions, which has brought fright to our country, although people are not happy with them. And I need to tell him in this hard talk that he need to maintain the same statement that he have done almost like 14 or 16 years ago.
All right.
That if I'm with him on the studio, he's a hero, and I don't need to back off.
All right. Professor Peter, we are back to you. Talking about the recent arrest of or the crackdown on corruption malpractices in the country, I mean, to you particularly, what do these developments tell us about the current political climate in the country?
Well, thanks, first of all, and good evening to the listeners of Mruaya, and also to my colleague, young colleague, Abraham, Professor Abraham. It's a very tricky question, Jacob, in that I personally don't have the information, full information, about these arrests. You know, in a situation where you get the information through the social media and sometimes distorted, it is impossible to really make something out of that kind of thing. Because we have, of course, this corruption thing is something which I would say it's as old as South Sudan itself. I mean, South Sudan when it became independent. And this is as a result of the the way it came about. So I would say the genesis of corruption in the in South Sudan, really, if you look at it historically, it began with the liberation movement, and it evolved and really developed in the liberation movement. And that's why, you see, I mean, I would say because, you know, we didn't have the, you know, accountability and transparency, and these principles were never there in the liberation movement. And most of the corrupt and graft practices that occurred during the War of Liberation were met by SPLA commanders and senior officers. And they came in after the agreement, they came in with these things. And of course, came out in the very clearly in the way, you see, the people started building, you know, castles, you know, embezzling, enriching themselves with heavily or overpriced government contracts. This kind of thing. Then we had, of course, the Dura saga, in which South Sudan still owes some people now billions of dollars.
Mm.
We had the credit letter of credit saga, in which the $500 million from the Qatari bank, National Bank, were just misused, and the people of South Sudan are yet to pay this money now, because we don't know where this money went to.
Mm.
There was also the question of the you know, crisis management committee, in which £800 million were just divided by a number of about five people, divided this thing, and they went scot free. So. Mm. When we talk about corruption, and it has been with us since the interim period, and even in the early stages of the liberation,
mm-hmm.
I mean of the independence. So if anybody who is really serious about this, about corruption and controlling it, then, you know, we should see there are a lot of many people who are still walking free now,
mm.
who should be in, and some of them in very senior positions of government.
Right.
I'm unable to link this arrest because some of it sometimes is personal vendetta, you know, vendetta against some individuals. And it's so difficult to say whether this the arrest and the incarceration of some of these people is linked to any kind of improvement
mm.
in the general political situation in the country. It's difficult to say that.
Right. Professor, you have just mentioned a history of how you think corruption was originated from. And in your own view, although you said that, you know, you cannot trace or really say something about the allegation of the crackdown on the politicians who are allegedly corrupt in the country, in your own view, why do you think now is the time? Why is it happening now?
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying, that it is a bit difficult to explain that. You see, I cannot say any word about it because it is not linked to any kind of a program to improve. Because then it should not just be corruption alone. It should be in all the sectors, you know, all the social, political, and economic sectors, you see. And in that case, you can say, yes, there's going to be an improvement in this. This thing will not happen, and so on.
Mm.
As you come in, I would also love to understand whether this is being applied actually fairly across all the institutions of government.
Well, you know, my assertion at the very beginning, I was urging my mentor, my senior, to be sincere to what he could be able to speak about, because he had been a person who spearheaded reform from the very beginning. He had been a minister at different levels.
Yes.
I have never been. He had been a professor. I'm only a professor, but I've never been a minister. So what I want to say it here is that the current thing that is happening is really a good way forward for the citizens of this country.
The arrest
is a good thing. The crackdown is a good thing. Why? Because it is show only when the people are not appointed like me, that when you are appointed into the government and you mess things up, you can be arrested. So it's a warning sign. That is what I can say.
Okay.
And as a result of this, I could only tie it down to when President Kiir said he's looking for a solution. The people had been appointed, they had never been giving solution. And the people had been letting him down, and the citizens of South Sudan. And we had, as I said, we had oil, we have gold, but we don't know where it goes. The only thing we need at this specific point is that president need to be serious, need to investigate people, so that who is free can be left free, and who is innocent can be left innocent, and who is guilty can be put into prison more. And church
more.
Yes. Right.
That's what we need at this time. Mm-hmm. Because you cannot imprison people and leave them just lying in the prison like that. Our law is very clear.
They need to be charged.
24 hours.
Now, this one goes directly to the role of institutions like judiciary.
Judiciary, national security, and the presidency. Those are the institutions that can take care of this thing. We don't need to put people in prison without investigating them. That is also unfair to them.
So, let's balance this. Let's go to Professor Peter.
I disagree.
Okay.
I would really beg to disagree with Professor Abraham because, you know,
that's fine.
It was deliberate. It was a deliberate policy to really emasculate the institutions. I'll give you an example. In 2007, there was this problem of the Minister of Finance. I mean, 2006, actually, who was arrested, and his clan went and got him.
He was removed from the prison by force. I know that.
Yeah. And these people were never... met to account for their actions. The same thing happened in the case of the Auditor General in 2007, and in which the Southern Sudan Legislative Assembly wanted to impeach him for corruption, because he has lost a lot of money. And there were people, very powerful people in the assembly who protected him, and he came out scot-free. Now, the situation is that if you look at what they were saying, and this is what encouraged the graft and the corruption, was that, you know, they misinterpreted what Dr. John Gerang said in New Sight, Natinga, in 2004, talking to the traditional leaders whom he wanted to thank for all their assistance and support for the liberation movement. And Dr. Gerang said that now we are about to sign the peace agreement. And after with the peace, the SPLA will now be paying back to the people, and in the form of schools, in the form of hospitals, in the form of roads, in the form of development and so on. And this one was misinterpreted by some people. The payback time. They said that the government money would not be audited during the interim period. It will be only after the referendum that the government money would be audited. And of course, it was, we saw what happened, you know, the kind of things I said before, the sagas, the kind of sagas, and the projects that were paid. Like the Juba Airport, Juba International Airport, that thing called Rocco, which is still there. You know, it has been paid almost four times, to the tune of about four.
Yes, Professor. Slightly, we have lost the connection with Professor Peter Aduoka Nyaba. We'll try to reconnect with him after a while. Coming to you, Professor Abraham, here with us in the studio, we have spoken about the roles of these institutions like anti-corruption, which you also mentioned others. This arrest we have so far seen has happened at the national level. Are we saying there are no corruption-related practices across the states?
Jacob Moyo and Violet, yes, this is very interesting. And I want to say that this arresting of people is a good sign. In fact, all of us of a sudden will have it.
Does it build trust?
Yes.
Okay.
It builds trust between the citizen and the government of Kirimayadil. Why? Because it is one of its first kind, which has never happened before. And it shows into it that, in fact, to me, unless these people are investigated, unless these people are charged and charged, we as citizens, we can a little bit trust at 20%, but we can still tell Kirimayadi that, listen here, you are not doing enough, despite the fact that you are a president. Because you are the overall in charge in person.
Professor, you were the same people asking the government to prosecute individuals who are necessarily fond of corruptions. Now that this is taking space, you still want to say that it is not enough.
Listen here. It is not enough. You know, one of my professors one time told me,
yes,
it is not over until it is over.
Which means
it will be over when we see people who are really guilty. Arresting people mean nothing.
Yes, but
Because the law said once somebody is arrested, is not guilty until proven by the law.
Right.
Yes.
Talking about institutions, judiciary is responsible of proving these people guilty and, you know,
Or innocent.
Do you think institutions are not corrupt as such as well?
I had said several times there are no institutions in this country.
What do we have?
There are only powerful individuals in this country.
So, Professor, who are these powerful individuals?
If I'm the minister, I'm more powerful than the law. That is what has been happening in the country. So, in the case of these people arrested, if in this case it is Michael McQuinworth with the Minister of Justice and Constitutional Affairs, who can determine their fate? And if he does according to this country, he can even leave people who have been guilty to be more free people and arrest people and charge people who are less guilty to be more guilty. That is what is happening in this country. We are aware of that.
How will he be charged for her innocence?
Things are cooked in this country. And I'm serious to speak this thing. Things are cooked in this country in the way that it is not the law that work. It is the individual that determines the fate of everybody.
All right. I think we should just hold this conversation here because we also want to hear from the public. Let us give opportunity to the public to also ask their question and also so that we can know what are the opinions on today's program. Right away, we are going to open our lines to our public. You can call in and be part of today's discussion. Our studio lines still remain the same, 0912-06-07-879. Let us pick our first caller, Radio Miraya.
Yes, good evening.
Yes, good evening to you. Your name and where are you calling from?
Area.
Yes, Andrea.
I have a question to the guest in the studio.
Go ahead.
The President Kiir has been accused of the plagiarism and giving a shine to his close relative. Gidevram is in the studio there having now by himself Rabbi Sabataba because of that one?
Your question is not clear.
Your question is not clear, Andrea.
I'm saying,
Nepotism,
yes.
That's wrong. That question is not in place.
All right.
That question is gone.
All right. Ready, Mariah. Ready, Mariah.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Yeah, good evening to you, my sister.
Yes, good evening to you.
Yeah, thank you very much, Thomas K. calling from Yambio.
Yes, Thomas K., welcome to the Mirror.
Yeah, thank you very much. I have only one question to the guest. He is talking about corruption, my brother. What can be done to end this issue of corruption in South Sudan? That is my question I have to the guest.
Thank you. Thank you so much for joining us, Thomas K. Rudy Miraya.
Radio Miraya?
Hello.
Hello, Mr. Halker.
Yes, you are speaking to Peter Andrico in Northern Baragazar.
Yes, Peter.
Yes. My question is this. As the professor has been speaking about the corruption in the institution, that he said that we don't have institution in this country, that we have only powerful individuals. So what should be done to solve this issue of powerful individuals?
All right, then. Thank you so much. William Roya.
Hello.
Yes, good evening.
My sister and my brother on the studio.
Yes.
I'm greatly older.
Your name again?
Mag Abraham Kanyaniel from Rubik Center.
Yes, Abraham.
Yeah.
Yes.
Your topic is basically, but now I will get the jump of our topic. I cannot take clear all, but I will agree you to direct it to me online. When I the topic, I will go.
All right, thank you so much. I'll sit next to your radio. When you get to the topic, you will call again. Radio Miraya.
Yes, good evening.
Good evening to you. Your name and where are you calling from?
Peace Boy calling from Ezo County.
Yes, Peace Boy, you're welcome.
Yeah, I just have only one question to the guest, the one in the studio, not to Nyamba Rob.
Yes, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, because it is a hard talk. This is a hard talk.
Yes,
now,
Peace Boy, go
my
ahead.
My question is about our resources in South Sudan. Because it is a gift by God to the country, which is South Sudan. Now, my question is about the misuse of it. Now, who is misusing these resources? Government? If it is the government, why? Why
right.
They don't want to open road with these resources for us?
All right. Thank you so much, Peace Boy. Let us speak our last caller. Radio Miraya.
Hello?
Yes, Radio Miraya.
Good evening to all of you.
Good evening.
Peter Scopas from Juba here.
Yes, Peter Scopas.
Ana Tavan, what the Haja Shoya, Hajara him to, Latin, Madonna's Vita Faminu, Almudua, Sasan Ocean. It tariff al corruption and Gadamunusu Fidelity, لأنه جنوب السودان ما مسك ستاندر عالمية في نهية بتتعامل بالمال. نحن بنعرف كل في كل أماكن في كل أماكن اللي فيها جبايات اللي تجمع فيها قروض تحصيل قروض كل بتتم تجميع بتاعته بوردو في لدادة في وزارة مالية. بعد كل مؤسسات والوزارات ما في وزارة الدفاع وزارة الداخلية قبل نهاية الشهر بأمر عملية بتمطالبة عشان يجهز الراتب لكل الوزارات دي لكل مؤسسات دي خدمة عامة وخدمة عسكرية وخدمة مدنية. لكن الحاجات دي ما جات تتم لأنه قبل كده واحد من المسؤول ما في دائل الذكر اسمه أكد وقال ياكي هناك ما في أموال في وزارة المالية اللي بكون جاهز للمرتبات ده سبب التعكير في حتة دي بورين كل وزارة وكل مؤسسة قد اكتفز بإيرادات بتاعته في ذاك الوزارة بتاعته والقروض بتمشي في الأطراف معينين وبتحرم بعض من الموظفين في مؤسسات مختلف الراتب ممكن تمشي لشهور أو لسنة كما قتصل في حتة دي فدي واحدة من الأسباب اللي بتعكس في حتة دي والستاندر اللي ما يتغيرت الكوربشن ما هيتغيرت
بلدي هيستمر للأبد. شكرا جزيلا. شكرا إسكوباس لمشاركة بتاعك وكمان شكرا لناس ضربوا تليفون قبلك. فضل لنا 5 دقيقة لساعة 8 بنمشي لأخبار باللغة العربية وكاننا جاء بعدين بندي فرصة لبروفيسور أبراهام عشان هو بقدر جواب أسئلة على سلو كمان بندي فرصة أجين لمستمعين بتاعنا عشان تكون بأضرب تليفونات بتاعكم في فترة تاني لبرنامج.
Right, stay there with us and we will be back. Good evening.
Help me celebrate, cause I just broke out of prison. Finally, baby says she know want me. You don't know how happy I am.
No girlfriend, no money.
Yeah.
No boyfriend, no worries.
No more worries. So until me sick across her, so plenty complaints. Doctors are free.
Welcome to Hard Talk, the platform for profound conversations on politics, social issues, and economy. From youth leaders to politicians, farmers to traders, street vendors to faith-based leaders, we bring you diverse voices willing to engage in some of the hardest conversations about the most pressing issues of our time. Hard Talk, setting the pace for discussion.
All right, a very good evening to all of you listening to 101 Radio Miraya. It's 1:15, and yes, welcome back from the news in Arabic and back to our conversations. We are talking about the crackdown of corruption countrywide.
And we are asking this question, is the fight against corruption in South Sudan real or it's just a show of control? And we have two prominent guests with us, Dr. Abraham Cole, a political analyst and professor at the University of Juba. And also we have online Professor Peter Aduoknyaba. Good evening and welcome to the second hour of the program.
Yeah, thank you, Jacob Moyo and Viola Elias.
Yes, let's go right down to the audience. What did they say? A lot of things.
There are a number of questions that they have asked. And I want to say that the issue of corruption is like a common thing that every doctor diagnosed in this country, every time you go to the hospital, they say you have typhoid and malaria. So I guess that corruption is like typhoid and malaria in this country. And I want to say into it that the crackdown is a good move by the president. And I want to reiterate again that as the president want to crack down the people, you don't just crack down the people without bringing them to justice. And as a result of this, the citizens are confused. What does that thing mean? You can't put people into the prison without bringing them to justice. So what the president needs to do at this time, or whoever is in charge of doing that crackdown, need to segregate among them to see who is guilty and who is free. That is what we want. Now, when I come back to the question that has been asked by the listeners, one of the questions is that what can be done to end the corruption? What can be done to end the corruption is that everybody, the president, need to be serious. And he said that go for the side of the people are corrupt or the side of the citizen. And for the president to go on the side of the people who are the citizen, whom he represents as the leader, he need to execute people who are corrupt. And everybody need to carry their own cross. And it is not only about them carrying their own cross, it is about them also trying to refund whatever they have stolen.
How is that possible?
And it is possible in one way. You know, in Kenya, you know, we had President Kenyatta, President Moi, when President Mwai Kibaki came, and Uhuru declared one statement. And he said, if you are corrupt and you had invested your money in Kenya, we are not going to pursue you. Because that investment is helping the people of Kenya. I think that is the statement that the president needs to declare. And you know, John Kudusu said that people are stealing money and they say, where did the money go? And you had invest money in another country. You build another country. No, that is a song of John Kudusu. I don't know whether they are about that. Now, people who had invested in another country need to be held accountable.
But what if that is their own money?
If it is their own money, it is not corruption. Because there is a difference between your own money and a public money.
Yes.
But remember, even as you speak now, I'm a professor at the University of Juba. We are the highly paid in this country, even including the minister, member of the parliament. Because a professor is paid £1.5 million. A minister is not paid that money. An MP is not paid that money. So where do they get their lavish life?
I think this is the question all South Sudanese are asking.
Yes.
That's why you are analyzing this. That is why you are analyzing this today.
Because if I don't have a lavish money, being the highly paid in the country, and my life is not lavish, so where does the ministers get their money? Where does the MP get their money? That's a question we need to ask. And if they have allowance, where they the firstborn in this country, who is their mother? Who is making them to be the one who will get a privilege compared to anybody. And the worst thing is, you know, our country is fragile. We are fighting against each other, which is not necessary. And innocent people who are holding the gun, AK-47, RPG,
and above
46, whatever you call grenade, they are the one who go to the pro line to die. And they go to fight when their children are sleeping on empty stomach. Whom are we fighting for? That's the question we need to ask.
All right. That's why you're analyzing this. I really want to draw Professor Peter Duoknyaba on the question of the powerful individuals. Professor Abraham actually mentioned earlier on about powerful individuals, whom he actually said play an oversight role more than the institution, more than some institutions. Do you attest to this?
Yeah, well, powerful people, of course, these are people who are acting or operating outside the law, because this is where their power is. One of the reasons why we have corruption, because corruption itself, by its definition, is in fact working outside the law. You see, you avoid the law or abuse the law and then continue to do things which of course, negatively affect the country. So some people, whether because of their relationship with the state, they have acquired that kind of thing, and they are untouchable. Yeah, we don't have to mention names, but it is known what they do, how they operate, and how it is affecting the people.
Mm.
You give them any kind of assignment, they go and create the kind of situation that negatively affects the people. But really, what I want to say, Jama, if we are going to resolve this issue, address the issue of corruption, is to make the institutions operate according to law.
Mm.
Mm.
If the institutions are not operating according to their mandates and functions, then definitely people get the opportunity to, put in their own initiatives and create whatever they want for themselves. And this, I'm saying this because some of us were a bit advanced in age, and we have witnessed some of the, better times in the Sudan before. You see, the issue of abuse of power came at a certain historical point.
Mm.
It was after 69 with the May Revolution and the politicization of the civil service. And you mark my words, once you create a system, a totalitarian system, in which everything is politicized, then definitely the whole thing goes the wrong way.
Mm.
And that is why many things started to go bad, which in fact in the end ended in the War of National Liberation in South Sudan. So the same thing, if you look at what happened, and many of us seem we have very short memories. Those of us who came from the Bush leaders, they forgot what they took the arms for. You see, and what we in the SPLA we used to sing, Sudan and Musawa, Sudan with Adala or Musawa, justice and equality. And when we came, we had the power, we forgot about these things. And people started to divide themselves along ethnic and clan and sectional lines, which means that we have really forgotten the reason for which we took up arms.
All right.
And what we are seeing now are just symptoms, outward manifestations of this situation that
we
created.
Mm. All right. Thank you. Thank you so much.
So to address it, we have to go back to the ABCs of good governance. You see, by which there is the principles of transparency and accountability.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you so much, Professor. Stay there with us. We are taking the line back to the audience, the listeners, to join us in the conversation, and we get together their questions, their views and opinions again, and then we come back for our response. Rudy Muraya.
Good evening.
Yes, good evening.
Yeah, my name is John. I'm calling from Malakal.
John.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I just want to have a comment.
Mm.
So I had listened enough, to our two guests, one of which is Professor Doc. Of course, when such great leaders speak, without any power to make decisions, it becomes a mass statement. People listen to what is affecting our country, but the solution to this problem is not solved. And I also beg to disagree with the Professor Makur in the sense that, he mentioned earlier on saying that, this is a good move, yet nobody objected, having those accused of corruption arrested. But the really culprit, the public knows who the big fish are, and they are not arrested. That means now, you know, this arrest is more selective rather than what is intended, you know, to fight corruption.
Mm.
If there is one reason that, you know, the committee itself has not been disclosed, the committee that is investigating the current arrested officials, it is the fear of the public that, you know, they themselves have a question to answer because they have the locks in their own eyes.
Mm.
If it was really transparency, why was it not made public so that these people are taken to court the way it should be according to our anti-corruption bill, so that, you know, when you are arrested for 24 hours, then you are taken to court until you are proved guilty or not.
Mm.
So this is, to me, it is not a move, you know, to in cracking corruption in
the right.
government institution.
All right.
Rather than now, you know, cultivating more. Or else, those people we are expected to have been arrested are not arrested.
All right.
The public knows them.
Thank you so much, John. Just to remind our listeners, we have Dr. Abraham or Professor Abraham with us here in the studio.
Hello,
Miraya. Yes. Good evening.
Good evening. How are you?
We are doing fine. Your name and where are you calling from?
This is Wene Faustino from Ezo County.
Faustino from Ezo County.
Yes. Well, I think we are, the most focus is about corruption. So there is one thing I want to ask our guest with, so I don't understand it. So in the government party, so there is a thing that you call politics. So in most part of the, in most position of the government. And so you can see that, so there is a soldier on the position. You can hear that this is a major general who is the governor, and then who is the major general who is the honorable minister. And then when this person will lose the position, so that person can go to the bush. And then is it true that the position must be given to the military, or it must be only for politicians? Because at times they say that politics is different from military. But for us here in South Sudan, you can see that politicians are militarily are in the position of politicians.
All right, your question is captured. Thank you so much for that.
Yeah, and let's keep going. Please be able to reach out to us through our students and become part of the conversations.
Radio Miraya.
Hello.
Yes, good evening.
Yeah, Ustazana, but they can answer to Albitatile Diouf Peter Scopas.
Now, Scopas, Fadal Tawali.
To Albitatile Professor, Hal Indina Dewan Bital Murada Alam, as any Rajim was a Sadwal of the Raddin, Hal Indina Tetis Idari, as any Fetisu, and a list Bital Mosifin, Munual Shahal, Munuma Shahal, at a land of Jubila Katakur Obama, can in no few, don't be sigil asma or ham. We can hide the fee, the corruption defi. We can hide the mafia. They are some of the racist corruption fidelity. That is the official Idari, but I feel Munu Moses, Asmal or Hamun was Mamma Moham. It's a country to see and see Murajam can be Shufalino Al Ruzbital Jamari, Ubita City Council, Ubita Shuru, Gruza Mashawin of Ruin, when Isalat Al Mali, Gruza will do for Zarabaria under Raddis Alenta.
Shukran Iskopas. Radio Miraya. Radio Miraya. Yes, good evening.
Yeah. Karbino Makum in Wulu.
Yes, Karbino. Fadal Tawali.
In this world, but I've been wahid.
Yes, go ahead.
I don't know how to write about the passat. مقفول ولا عمل كيف يعني ده كان مكتب وحيد يا هو كان فاهموا المشكلة بتاع الفساد
حتى
بقول قال للبريسيدنت يا هو عمل تدخل وشنو ده مكتب ده شايف شغال في جوبا وعقب تام كان كتبوا قوانين بتام لسه شغال ولا ما شغال
ما عندك مكتب ده في ولاية هناك؟ Hello,
Radio Mirage.
Yes, good evening.
Good evening.
Your name and where are you calling from?
Los Adia from Jebel.
Your name again?
Los Adia from Jebel.
Los Adia from Jebel. Los Adia, you're welcome.
Thank you so much. In fact, I am very, very grateful to be part of this conversation.
Thank you so much.
We lost him. And let's give more time to the listeners to join us on this conversation so that we can be able to move finally to the guest, Miraya.
Yeah, good evening, Miraya.
Yes.
Call me Michael Makwe in Medina Town South.
Michael Makwe.
Yeah, I'm in Medina Town South. Yeah.
Yes. You're welcome.
Yeah, the program is good. Yes, I want that to ask a question.
Go ahead, please.
Yeah, when we have it now, South Sudan has the only one disease, the complete disease is for none other than corruption. But who is going to eliminate that? We have this great man who acquired different skills in education, like professors. Why not have a forum that can bring all the government officials, the forum that they met, just to give an advice to the government? To talk to the people, to talk to some generals and all the ministries, to give them their guidance so that the country can go in good way than going in wrong way. That is my question.
All right. Thank you. Thank you so much for joining us as well.
Radio Miraya. Hello, Radio Miraya.
Viola, my brother, good evening.
Good evening.
Good
to
evening.
You.
David McGough from WOW.
Yes, David McGough, you're welcome.
Yes, David. Yeah, David, hung up. You can try to calling us, after a while. Rudy Mariah.
Yeah, good evening to you.
Good evening.
Yeah, you're talking to James Michael from Trevor.
Yes, James Michael.
I don't have a question, but I have a comment.
Go ahead, please.
Yeah, do you know... if you are come and we see, they have an absentation in the side of judiciary in our country. And fighting the corruption, it can be ended through the law. Yes. Number two, I agree with the professor in the studio. Arresting the people, it is the right. The official or our leaders in our country, they are not implement the law. That is the problem. Now here we need the right person to implement the law. That's what we need. Thirdly, the presentation of our president here is absent. I agree with that. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael, for your comment. Let's pick one last caller. Radio Miraya.
Viola, what I was trying to put across is...
Yes.
I was just asking, Professor Adwo was one of the liberators. And the reason they were fighting for 21 years is for the people of South Sudan to get right. By now, the leaders are consuming the resources and everything of the country for themselves. Where is our right here as the citizen? What was the reason? Were you fighting only for the welfare yourself as the liberator, or you were fighting for the welfare of the citizen of the country? Number one. Number two, coming to Professor Abraham. You know, professors currently, they are keeping silent and they have allowed generals all the time to make recommendations for the people to get anything that they want. Instead of the qualification of the university, it becomes the recommendation of the general now, which is stronger than the degrees in the university. Where is the role of the professors of the country? You have seen very well that politics have failed the economy. And you people don't want to talk about it. Are you fearing death or is the guns controlling degrees? Because you don't understand exactly what is going on. Deliberation have finished. And what is supposed to be done now is the change of transformation through education. And you professors don't want to talk about it. Do you people think about second liberation for the youth to take guns or for the youth to come out or whatever, because we don't even know exactly what is the plan of our leaders to all the people of the country. You don't even know where to start. If we went to school, we have graduated, and we don't even know what to do. So which is which?
All right.
Is the degree better than gun, or is the gun better than degree?
Thank you. Thank you so much, David Magok. Let's keep it there. We have a lot. There are also more online that we will be able to read the messages. Over to you, Professor Abraham.
Yeah, thank you, Jacob Moyo. I think this had become a very hot debate.
It's a hard talk.
And it is really a hard talk. And I want to, it will take time for me to speak on some of the questions that are raised.
Mm.
And I would begin with John, who said that why is the arrest selective?
Mm.
I think John has interest. That is what I want to say this. Because we who are public, we don't know whether the arrest is selective or not. Why? Mm. Because we are not part of who is arrested. We are not part of who is left out. We only know who are arrested, and those are the people we know. And as a result of this, we believe the arrest might somehow be selected but not selected because it is the first of its kind in this country. And as a result of this, what I will say as a professor, how long there is an arrest, they say there is no rain without cloud.
There's no smoke without fire. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So as a result of this, it is not selective. Even if Abraham is put in prison tomorrow, know that there is smoke and there is cloud. So
somewhere you might be corrupt.
Something, somewhere. So there is nothing selective here. Which means John is selective in one way. He doesn't want this country to go ahead. But for this country to go ahead, what we need to do if people are arrested, they must be taken to the court. And they must plead guilty or not guilty based on investigation. That is what we need to push for, all of us. That is one. Number two, another thing is Scopus who said, why are intellectuals keeping quiet? I don't think whether intellectuals are keeping quiet. Because one thing, we at the university, we don't come to the media. It is the media that call us. So if Mirai M did not call me, I will not come here. We only speak when we are called. And I remember this morning I was on iRadio on the issues of election. And that was a public demand. I was called by iRadio, said, we have not heard from Professor Abraham for long. Let him come here. So that is a public demand. So if his corpus is serious, let them demand. We'll always be coming here, even on a daily basis. Carbino saying that...
The Anti-Corruption Commission.
The Anti-Corruption, we know that it has been quiet. The Anti-Corruption has got a law that empower them. But as I said, it goes back, the people who are working on anti-corruption are more vulnerable than the people who are doing corruption themselves. So it's a matter of life and death. And as a result of this, somebody one time told me that if you are young and you want to take care of your family, you say children are young. So maybe the anti-corruption people, children are young, and they want to take care of their children. And they have kept quiet because the law does not support them. That is how I will respond to that. On Michael, which also said the same thing, why does academia not give advice to the government?
Yeah.
Now, the issue here is that we always give advice to the government, but our advice to the government is based on what the media tell us.
Mm-hmm.
And especially on invitation. Because as professors at university, we don't invite ourselves. We are invited officially. And we cannot create a fresh conference at the university because University of Juba only create fresh conference to teach only children. We only teach students. That's the press conference we have. We are not the ministry. But our fresh conference and our ideas are only very fruitful and only impactful when we are called by the media house.
Mm.
So we cannot call ourselves. So even I'm here today, if Mirai FM did not call me, I will not be here. So that is also something that I can say to Michael.
David Magok.
I don't know what else do we have.
Our last caller, David Magok. Yes, he talked about citizens where their rights are not being respected. Exactly. Yes,
he's talking about second liberation, if I remember.
Mm.
Now, what we always do in a fragile cellar country like South Sudan is that leaders are always very selfish. Leaders do their interest, but at some point, leaders also do their interest at the expense of the citizen. Why? Because even the leaders who are doing their interest, they are also supporting their citizens who are living at their interest. And as a result of this, it depends on what the majority can decide. And this is where the concept of civil disobedience come in. The civil disobedience means that when the citizen decided to go against the rule of the leaders. What I'm trying to say here is that in fact, election is overdue. And this is what I talked this morning. That in this 2026, in the next 2 months, if the government is really serious for election, something must be done to election commission, something must be done to political parties council. Because that is the process that leads us to election. And if nothing is done in 2 months, which means there will be no election. Why? Because the RRC is very clear. It says 6 months to election, the electoral institution must be empowered by the government. If they are not empowered, forget about election. And I also said one thing, that the worry that we have as we speak now is not about who is going to be the president. The worry we have are three things. One, President Kiir, whether there is fair or free election or re-election, President Kiir will remain a president as we have election. Number two is the fate of the first vice president, because he's also another icon in this country. Without Riek Machar, there's no election. Because when you have election without Riek Machar, because you know, Riek Machar and President Kiir has become another idol that South Sudanese worship. And as a result of this, minus one of them, it means destroying this country. So the question is, when do we determine his fate? Whether through the court or through what? How do we determine his fate, I mean, for him to come to the election?
All right. He also questioned about generals recommending most of the things in the country today, compared to the academic degrees that, people obtain from universities. I mean, which one is more powerful, supposed?
Jacob Moyo.
Professor.
It is very clear. When I have to fight with you, if I'm physically more stronger than you, you can only bow down before me. And so Kalanchinkop is more powerful than the degree. Until only one thing will happen. Until the public decide that we can only finish the Kalanchinkop. What does that thing mean? Umar al-Bashir was a very powerful president. But the people of Khartoum decide to overthrow him. Why? Because they feel the street of what? Of Khartoum. And even if you have Kalanchinkop, because Kalanchinkop has only 31 bullets, you can only kill 31 people. And you can be captured alive. I think this is where the foreign is supposed to be.
Yes.
Who is powerful?
Yes. We also have some questions on our Facebook page. And this one comes from John Paul Bell. He is asking that citizens are really tired of lies from their politicians. Who is going on to show them the truth if one time politicians will sing for peace and in other time they will also sing for war? He is actually referring this question to Professor Peter Adwok Nyaba, but it's
unfortunately he's offline now.
He's offline, yes. Another question is he's
before
asking...
Before that, let me answer that question.
All right.
Because I said something some years back, like 2 or 3 years ago, I said the problem of this country is not about politicians.
Mm.
It is about South Sudanese.
Why would you say that?
Why? Because a politician does not go to the bush alone. He go to the bush, leaving his wife in Nairobi, the wife in Kampala, the children in London, the children in New York, and then the other people, children, are the one going to die at the expense of him to become a leader.
Mm.
So I said that question means if these leaders want to protest against the government, let us ask them. You bring your child from Nairobi, bring your child from London, bring your wife from UK.
Right.
Bring your child from China. And if they come and fight with you, you are defeated, we'll support you. Let us stop supporting them. We are the problem.
Right.
It's not the politician who is the problem.
Exactly. Another question to you, Professor Abraham, the same person. He's asking that may you clarify the meaning of a special court, because he fails to understand why is it that we have a special court, but citizens, some of the cases, like the case of a former vice president, are arrested and they are kept somewhere. Why is it that those who are arrested, they are not kept in the prison, but they are kept in Blue House? This is how I think he wants some clarity on that.
Well, I might not be sure what a special court mean, but what I want to say that in every country, why it is called a special court is because of based on the status, because the first vice president is somebody that cannot be tried by anybody except a system that is set up through the presidency and through judiciary. And as a result of this, that is why I think it is called a special court, because in fact, the first vice president is a very high, the second highest person in the country. And as a result of this, he cannot be tried by anybody except a system that is set up by the government. And that system set up by the government, whether legitimate or legitimate, is what is called a special court.
Mm.
All right. We should be rolling down to the end of this. There are only two questions. Tibom Chapboth Wang from Bentiu in Unity State is only asking, what advice would you give to the government? To the leaders of South Sudan who are dividing the citizens of this nation. We'll come to answer that one at the end of the conversation. James Ruey Majoka from Mayom County in Unity State is saying, and let me be precise to the point, the recent arrest of top government officials will not solve our problems that we are facing in the country unless there is another mechanism to economic development. But what are the best options? As one of South Sudan, veteran politician of South Sudan actually said, this is a question from James Ruey Majoka from Mayom.
Yeah, thank you. I think one thing with that we can talk about is that the issue of the arrest, as I said before, is a good move, and I appreciate that. Why? Because it is a first of its kind, which had never happened in this country. And the only problem with the government is that they are not making these people to be taken to court, so that we know who is guilty and who is not guilty. That's the only mistake. But otherwise, it is a good move. It is a warning sign to each of us. Even Moi Jacob, tomorrow you'll be having appointed a minister of communication.
Mm-hmm.
Even Vaila Elias can be appointed a minister of postal service and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
All of us are potential ministers anyway. But this is a warning sign to all of us that when you made a mistake, you can be taken into prison.
Mm-hmm.
And that is why they say the government can do one thing. You know, in my culture, they say there is something, the faith of ostrich is put on your top, on your head.
Yes.
And if you put it on your head, you can dance very well, a very proud man. That is when the government appoint you. But the government can take the same faith of ostrich and put it on your anus. That is putting you into prison, which means he humiliates you. And the government does not humiliate anybody. It is you can decide to humiliate yourself. Why? Because you are wearing the good ostrich feather and you humiliate yourself to be put at your anus.
So up to this point in time, Professor, what is your last message now to the leaders? Like somebody asked, what's your last message as well to the government? And what do you tell the people of South Sudan?
Well, what I want to say is that I want to say let us be calm, let us observe the space, and let us also pressure the government to make sure that if they are serious on issues of corruption, they must make people accountable and release people who are relieved to be innocent. There must be a difference between the two, because arresting somebody according to the law means nothing. So what is very important is those who are guilty must be held accountable. Those who are free must be left free.
Hmm.
And the citizens must give much pressure. That is what I want to say. And the government, especially the president and the presidency, must be serious on what they want to do. It's not about putting people to prison. Especially our president Kiir, if he knows how many people are put into prison in the next 1 month, if the president is serious, he must divide, he must tell the president who are guilty and who are not guilty. This way we'll believe in him. Otherwise, we cannot believe in him. Thank you.
All right. Shukrana, Professor Abraham. Wakamana derodi shukurle Dev Bitana kan Professor Adwok, Peter Adwok Nyaba. Min fikhat. Lakin lil asaf hukan magadman la hadifi nihayata barnamij. So we have come to the end of our program. We really appreciate those who have called in to contribute and ask their questions. And also we like to really give a special thanks to two of our guests for their insight.
Yes, and up to here, of course, we have come to the end of this edition of the program. And, of course, you know that corruption is not just about money loss. It is about trust that has been broken. So when public resources are misused, it is ordinary citizens who pay the price through poor services, weak institutions, and also lost opportunities. Now, what we are actually witnessing now may signal a turning point. Arrest and strong statements suggest a willingness to confront a problem that has long a standing issue. But history reminds us that real change is not measured by captions. It is actually measured by consistency and fairness, as well as long-term impact.
Right. And for many citizens, the key question is simple. Will this make my life better? Will it make it better? Will it provide health care, stronger schools, and also a government that truly serves its people? Or will it remain a moment of political thread that fades with time? A true accountability requires more than action. It just requires trust in the system. It demands transparency, independent institution, and equal application to the law, regardless of power or position. Until Friday's Chai Talk, when we turn our focus to our natural resources, which is oil, where does it come from and where does it go? Let us find out all together on Friday. My name is Viola Elias.
Yes, and my name is Moyo Jacob Felix. We bid you a very, very, very amazing night in the company of Radio Miraya, and goodbye.
Mama, she, and a mind, the Malana Biggie, Pogo, and a guy.